Father, we just give you permission just to continue. We surrender unto you. Lord Jesus, we surrender unto you. We allow you to move freely here this morning, in and through us this morning. Come and captivate us this morning, Lord. Our hearts for you and for you alone this morning, Father. Not for the cares of this world, Lord, deceitfulness or the riches of this world, but for you only, Lord Jesus. Increase that passion this morning, Lord. That flame. If it's small this morning, my prayer is, Lord, that you will come and ignite that fan, that flame inside of us this morning, Lord. Consume us. Hallelujah. Praise you. Hallelujah. Lord, we praise your name. Hallelujah. You may take your seats. Thank you, Jesus. We had such a special presence of the Lord in the first service, you know, and I was standing at the back. They said, Lord, I refuse to preach. I refuse to preach without that anointing, because sometimes you ride in that wave and you're so excited and you see what God is doing, and then you can so easily walk in the flesh and just try and accomplish things in the flesh. But we had such a special presence, and I believe God wants to do the same this morning with us here in the English service. But I want you to turn with me to Matthew 6, verse 5 to 8 in your Bibles. If you don't have a Bible, next week is Bible Sunday. We will donate one to you. Okay? The need is amongst us here. If we open our eyes, we will see it. It's one chair away. Don't look around now. Okay? Matthew 6, verse 5 to 8. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Surely I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask him. But I want to preach this morning on that word, vain repetitions, or the theme of my sermon this morning is re-examining our words, which I believe God has started ministering to myself in my own life, about re-examining my words. Last week we spoke about our thoughts, how we can condition that, how we can align that with God's word and what he wants. But this morning I want to talk about words, but words specifically towards God. There's many sermons out there that you can go and listen about positive speaking that is true, all of that. But I don't want to talk about that this morning. I want to talk about what we are promising God, what we are saying unto God. And it all just, I think, came to a climax this week, when we had a prayer meeting on Tuesday morning, and God's presence just came into that room, filled that room, and we were just in awe, adoring God. And I just sensed in my spirit that God said, do not enter further. Just stay at a place where we just praise God and just worship him and just experience him for who he is and just adore him. You know, and we just couldn't continue to go into the petition part. Now, let me explain this. You know, if you've been in church long enough, if you've been with the Lord long enough, you have a certain framework, and every one of us, as you are sitting here, is busy being formed right now as I'm talking, right as you are reading your Bible, and that needs to be reconstructed some another time. With myself, it was the same thing, you know, and we are sitting there, and God said, just continue praising me. And then we have this picture of prayer, you know. We've been told, get into God's presence, you praise him, you thank him, you know, do all that preparation stuff. Then you get into the next level where we can ask God, you know. So we've done all that here, you know. But very often, we spend such a little bit of time in this area here where we praise God and where we just magnify His name, you know. But we can continue into petition or in asking God things for an hour or longer, you know, because our list is so long. You know, that is our idea of prayer. But to take a step back, you know, when we had to stay at that place of just praising God, I suddenly realized how small that room can become. And that is different for each one of us. Your room where you just adore God, and after 10 or 15 or 20 or half an hour, you realize that you've said everything that you know. You know, if you're a Christian, you know, you've got your own library, what you call God, you know, all those terms, terminology, those religious jargon that we, not jargon, but if you don't understand that, that'll become jargon to you, you know. God, you're the God of gods, and you're the Lord of lords, you're the King of kings, you're the lily of valley, you're the rose of Sharon, you're the lion of Judah. And we continue to give that unto God, and we think, oh Lord, we're praising you, we're lifting your name up, and God is feeling good, and I feel good. And then after 20 minutes, I have no more words, you know, and I realize, you know, that is my part of adoration, or my part of just adoring God and standing there. And you realize you are depleted. Now, thank God we have got tongues, you know, that's when you just switch over in tongues and you know, now I have to pray like Paul said, in spirit and in understanding, you know. But I think there's a place that we have to increase or position ourselves for God to increase our capacity in understanding so that we can be edified and God can be glorified as well at the same time, you know. Because we don't see God as it is, as He is, you know. And I think it is because, you know, we just say things hastily unto God. We just pick them from that library. We throw it unto God without even considering what we've just said to God and what it means in my life. So allow me this morning to talk a little bit about that. And I won't preach a Pharaoh sermon. You know, a Pharaoh sermon, say, a Pharaoh didn't want God's people to go. I will do it ASAP and as sweet and short as I can. But, you know, when I was still studying, they taught us, you know, in dogmatics, that certain qualities or capacities, I love it, cannot be attributed or cannot be imputed attributes, all these heavy words. Why did I choose these words this morning? You cannot impute them to God. Just pick them and impute them. What I'm trying to say to you this morning is that we cannot just say, God, you are love. God, you are good. Because goodness exists in God. Goodness, God is goodness. You know, we as the created being cannot sit on the side and we decide these qualities. We look at God and we say, he's got love. He's got goodness. You know, our awareness, our perception of goodness and love comes from God. So suddenly we place ourselves at this place where we say, God, you're good. You know, you've got all these things. But our limited understanding, you know, actually comes from Him. Everything. He's the origin of love this morning. And what we know about love starts in Him. And that is His self-expression, His revelation to you and me when we name, when we see and experience these things. So goodness, truth, life, all these things that we call unto God or we say He is, you know, never exist in themselves, but it only exists in God. That are the eternal principles or norms, not something independently which we can assign or impute to God and say, you know, we as man has decided this is love. And we look at God and, yeah, God, you've got this and this and this. Can you see the picture? There's a difference, and we call them divinities. There's the difference between divinities and attributes. And that is who God is. And unfortunately, due to sin, you and me can only see vaguely. We can only experience God vaguely. The word says in 1 Corinthians 13 verse 12, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. For now I know Him in part, but then I shall know. Then I shall know just as I also am known. Due to sin, you and me, there's that breach thing, you know. And even Jesus has come and he made the breach. Or the gap was there, Jesus made the breach, but still as we experience God in our day-to-day life, you know, we are limited with what we experience. Just because we live in a broken world and we are not finished yet, God is in the process of renewing us daily. And as He's renewing us, you can get a greater revelation of who God is and what is love, you know. of the night that I think it was the worship night, I just realized again in my spirit that we don't understand God's love. I don't think we talk about it so freely and say, God, you are love and give me your love, but we don't really know what God's love is, you know. And it's much deeper than the words that we take from our library, like I said, and just throw it in God and say, God, you are that or you are this, you know. But we need to come to that place and say, Lord, I want to re-examine my words. I want to re-examine my prayer life. I want to think about that so it will not just become vain repetitions when I come to God in prayer. And it's a type of mechanical type of prayer life, realizing what we're saying. So the first one, God is love. And I want to focus on a few of them, which I know I often, you know, make the mistake of or don't think about it, you know, we're just saying something and things which you would often hear in church, you know. Those ones. But we say to God, God, you are love. And I already said the source of love is God. And the greatest expression of God's love, and it's not new that you're hearing these things. I'm not bringing you fresh revelation this morning. I'm just standing on the old truths and I'm just lifting them up this morning. Allow the Holy Spirit just to lighten that up in our spirits this morning. The greatest revelation this morning of God's love is John 3:16. We all know that God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have eternal life. And that is the greatest expression when God came. And he said, I want a family. In order to have a family, I'll sow a seed, I'll sow a son. And that extension was made for me and you. And it was not a love because you and me was worthy. Unfortunately or fortunately, it wasn't. When you and me were still out there in the world, minding our own business, doing our own thing, didn't want to know anything about God, God saw us, like with Nathaniel, under that tree. And he said, I saw you under the fig tree. And God saw you where you were still in the world, didn't even care about the stuff, about the religious stuff or Christianity. I don't want to use the word religion. It's got a bad connotation. But God saw you already in that condition where you are, unworthy, but yet he saw the potential in you. That is the kind of love that reaches out to you to save you as a sinner and myself. And it is a love where we also see that God prepares something hereafter. And it's so precious to know that when we just think about heaven for one moment, when Corinthians talk about that the eye is not seen, what is not entered into the heart, those things, that is what the Father has prepared for you and me because he loves us so much for his children to be with him, to abide with him forever. We don't think about it that heaven is so many times, or we don't see it as that heaven is the fact that God is revealing his love. He's preparing it right now at this moment. And then God's love comes, and I believe it finds expression in your my life through one thing, through the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5 verse 22. When that's that love, and it's unfortunately not the love that we think we have, it's a love that Romans 5 verse 5 talks about. That's being poured out into our hearts, a godly love and an agape love that enables us to love those that we sometimes struggle to love. And the Bible takes it to the extreme. It would say, love your enemies and those that hurt you and those that offend you. Those are the ones that we are about to love. That is the kind of love and furious love, the love that loved you when you were still in the world, that you didn't comply to according to our standards, which we set in church. God is holy. We'll get to that now. God already loved you then. He doesn't love you or us here this morning more than those in the world. He loves them just as much. The only thing that stands between us and the people out there in the world is grace this morning. That's why we cannot claim this morning, oh, I'm so special, you know. I found Jesus. Jesus was never lost. Jesus found me. And we sing that, hey? It's true. But Jesus found me. It wasn't that Jesus is lost. No, where is Jesus now? I found him, you know. That's the type of love that God is manifesting. This is my command that you love one another as I have loved you. John 15 verse 12. And if you read that old John 14 to 16, it's just so special. It's the last part where Jesus, just before he departs, and it's just so precious when you read John 15. He's talking about the vine there as well. God is good. Oh, good. God is good. Good. What's that song? Where does the song go now? God is good. All the time, God is good. And we sing that song unto God, and we sometimes don't think about it. What does it mean to say, God, you are good? It is a very generic concept, and in the Hebrew language, they have various meanings for it. Favor, mercy, benevolence. And then the other word, top, that means good, abundant. And in Greek, they would refer to that as also meaning good, excellent, pleasant, honorable, and kalos, which means beautiful, admirable, surpassing by nature. There's such a vast description of goodness when we talk about goodness. Jesus said to unto the man, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. In Mark 10, verse 18. We cannot say that God is good because He is and He does what we expect of Him. And this is why many times we think God is good because I've got, you know, all the things that I need, you know, or God is looking after me. That's good. That is another thing. Yes, God provides. And that's one of the ways God manifests His goodness towards us. But that is not the ultimate. Again, the source of goodness starts in God. This is where it all starts. And it's evident also in the creation out there. We know right from the beginning, when you start reading Genesis 1, you know that when God created, and the word says, and God saw that and it was good. It's just who God is, you know, right from the beginning. The Lord is good to all. Psalm 145 verse 9. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. God's goodness is intimately connected with His love. You cannot separate the two. Because God loves His good unto you, me. And we experience that. And likewise, I said in the first service, God's goodness is manifested, which I just said about in His provision. He provides for us because His goodness flows into that. When the Israelites were in the desert, He gave them quail, manna. They fed from God's storeroom, you know. But then when they entered into the promised land, God said, that's fine now. Long enough you had manna now. Now you're going to sow the seed yourself. You're going to raise your own cattle. You're going to take responsibility. In other words, what I'm saying to you this morning, God's goodness is manifested here this morning when we can sit here, say, I'm healthy. I can work this morning. I've got the ability to earn money. That's why you cannot say, no, you know, I've accomplished that. I'm, you know, the man. God's goodness is just manifested through healthiness, for the ability for you and me to earn and to provide. And then the tithing thing comes in. I say, by just giving back unto God and acknowledging, Lord, what I have is not mine. My health, the little bit that you've entrusted me with, yes, you are good unto me. And I just say thank you unto you. Just an honoring, like Walter said, you know, it's a place of protecting yourself and honoring God with that. I'm not preaching about tithes and offering, don't worry. Just saying about God's goodness. And then the third one, God is holy. We say, Lord, you are holy. The Hebrew word kadosh means set apart. It's a cut above. They would use, in that time, you know, a different material for their clothes. And it means a cut above, a material that's just from a different cut, you know. Set apart for God's purpose. Cut off from sin, set apart for the sole purpose of God. That is what holiness means, you know. We throw it loosely around and we say, Lord, you are holy, or we want to be. But do we really understand when we think about holiness? What does holiness really mean? For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. Deuteronomy 4 verse 24. This gap, God is so holy this morning. Let me put it this way. God is so holy this morning that this gap between me and God is so vast and inaccessible that I will never be able to reach that gap on my own. Because God is holy. And I am a broken man. The only way is Jesus Christ. That's the only way. And it didn't come from me making that first step. It was God that loved us when we were still in the world. We love Him this morning because He loved us first. And this holiness is a type of holiness that you just stand in God in reverence and in fear of God. And you just like, when you come at that place, when you really experience God's holiness and the fear of the Lord, you're at that place when you know, I cannot move now. God's holiness is being manifested and you experience it. Yet, it's not a fear. It's not of being afraid. It's a kind of reverence and holiness of fear that draws you closer to Him. That not keep on running away, or like Romans 8 verse 1 says, those that are in Christ Jesus, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And that is the type of holiness. It means we are intimately connected with God. We listen to his heartbeat. We know his thoughts. You know, I say to the Lord, Lord, I want to be at that place where you don't even whisper, but I know your thoughts. This is how I want to know, you know. But when we drift away from God, God sometimes has to shout, you know, to get our attention. But we have to walk in holiness with God. We just know his heartbeat. We know his thoughts. We're so intimately connected with him. When that type of holiness is manifested in us, we are able to walk at that place and to pursue it, like we read in Hebrews 12 verse 14, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Without no one will see the Lord. There's not condemnation here this morning. I'm saying that we cannot just ignore those things. God says that we are a holy people. He said to Israel, you are a holy people unto me. Likewise, we today, this morning, we're a holy people, a holy person, people unto God. That means that I'm separated from sin. I'm separated from this world. I'm set apart for God's purpose. I cannot just dwell in sin anymore. I cannot just go back the old way like I used to do. God is busy with the renewing process. And if I don't allow him, that holiness will never be perfected in my life. So it's not just about throwing a word at God and say, God, you are holy. When we say that, we're also bringing that down to us and say, Lord, I'm acknowledging that. When I acknowledge that you are holy, that means it needs to come in my life. As we behold Jesus, the word says, we become more and more like him. You cannot just look at him. The word says that you look at him, if you look at him and you turn your back on him, you're like you're looking in a mirror and you turn your back on that. We cannot just come in God's presence and just experience all these things and never allow those things, his love and his holiness, to infiltrate us and to change us. I want to talk about Jesus Christ. When we talk about Jesus as the Word of God, we say, Lord, you are the Word, or Jesus, you are the Word of God, according to John 1, that says this, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. As Word, he is God, but simultaneously, he's also the revelation of God this morning. It's a continuous process. Word means logos, which means to attest to the self-expression of Jesus this morning, or self-introduction of the subject to the object this morning. He's coming from his throne room, from heaven down to live among us right now as we're standing here, Holy Spirit with us. Right there. The Word came and it became flesh amongst us. That's why it was better when Jesus went back to heaven. Because we would never receive the Holy Spirit. Now everybody can have that Holy Spirit inside of us. That Holy Spirit of Lord. I'm not saying that in disrespect. It sounds very that Holy Spirit. Just realized. But what I'm saying to you this morning is to know God, there's only one way. There's a song, One Way. Jesus, one way. And that is the only way. You can not claim that you know God if you didn't know his son. Now, I don't want to preach about that. That's about the Muslims. We can talk about that. You know, you cannot claim that Allah and God is the same God. Unfortunately not. There is not the same God. You cannot deny my son. John 14 verse 6 says, there's no one can come to the Father except through me, said Jesus. And they defended the religious people. Christ is the Word that incarnated, the revelation of the mystery of God that came to us through God's thought. It's the revelation of God's thoughts, his will, his love that was extended to the world and to us this morning. God created, according to Hebrews, God created the world through his Son and upholds all things by the word of his power, by the word of his power. It attests to the immediacy of creation. He uses no medium or anything else but his word by just speaking that. When God created, he just used a word and it was there. Let there be light, and there was light. That is that the power in God's words, or the power in the name of Jesus. That's when you call upon the name of Jesus, there is power this morning, because there's power in that name. Jesus then depicted in a few other various concepts. And then some of them that you might have heard very often. We say to the Lord, Lord, you are the way, the truth, and the life, specifically the way, according to John 7 to 9, 10 verse 7 to 9. What does it mean? When we say, Lord, you are the way, you are the only way, that means I'm not choosing any other way. When I declare unto Lord, Lord, you are the way, where I approach him in prayer, I say to him, Lord, you are the way, you are the gateway to Christ, to God. No other way. And I say to Lord, Lord, you are the truth. That means that might be that there's other truths, but I declare this morning that I believe you and you alone this morning. The world out there is full of so-called truths. They try to get your attention, but there's only one truth, and that is Jesus Christ this morning. Jesus is the life. He doesn't only give life, he is the life this morning. This is where it starts. Life starts in God. And by the way, I heard this once, you know, talking about life, that Jesus had to die before that sinners on the cross. Why? As long as you're in the presence of God, there is life. They couldn't die until Jesus had to die first. And that is it. When God is still around, there is life. As long as we can just hold on to that, you know, you can feel like you fall apart. But when you hold on to Jesus, there's life. And it doesn't look like it, doesn't feel like it sometimes. But you can hold on and know that his word is true. And we hold on to that. Lord, you are the bread of life. Don't we say that unto the Lord? What does it mean? Like bread, you know, we cannot go without bread here. Or bread is supposed to, symbolically, saying that on earth you need bread to survive. And it works likewise in heaven or in the spiritual realm the same. Jesus is that bread that we need to eat of daily. To go to him and say, Lord, I eat of you. I allow you. The water of life. This is the second, other one. We say, Lord, you are the living water. That living water, like anything out here, cannot survive without water. We cannot survive without Jesus. We cannot go days and days and days without having intimacy with him, without sitting or just carving the time out and sit aside and say, Lord, allow that water just to run through me. Just come and cleanse me. Just allow that. Let me just drink from that water. Like Jesus said to that woman in John 4, when you drink of this water, you will never be thirsty again. We cannot claim that we know God and we never have intimacy with him. Then we become shallow and we become superficial and we become religious. You know, we know the talk and you realize your talk becomes empty. The things that you see, you know the right talk to talk, you know. You get around people like that. And I'm not here to say, you know, go and classify them or go and look for them. All I'm saying is, you know when somebody was in the presence of God. The word talks about smelling it. It's about just knowing that somebody is intimately walking with God, you know. And this is what we need to desire, just to be at that place. Oh, I want to walk at that place where we have communion, where we are at that place, you know. I don't want to feed on yesterday's manna. I don't want yesterday's bread. Lord, you've got a fresh bread baked for me here this morning. Luke 11. How much more will your Heavenly Father give you? The Holy Spirit, if you ask him. God is about to give you. He wants us to eat from him. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. That means that God or Jesus is not subject to the limitations of time this morning. He's outside this morning, but he's also the beginning and the end of your life, your faith walk. He's the beginning of that. He's the author of that according to Hebrews. And he's also the finisher, the perfecter of your faith this morning. So when we call unto God, you're the Alpha and Omega, we allow him to do the full process in our life. We allow him to come and reconstruct us from the beginning to the end. And God is never leaving us. Philippians 1 to 6, I think, that says that God has started the good work in us, will take it unto completion. God will not leave us halfway. Thank God that he will not leave us halfway and start with us when the work. I'm getting very excited and then I start spitting here. So I'll move it back a little bit. He's the finisher of our faith. Our faith is brought into completeness in Christ. He's our final destination this morning. This is where we're all heading if we are putting our eyes on Jesus Christ this morning. He's Emmanuel. We sing that song, God with us. Amongst us this morning, when we call upon him as Emmanuel, that means He's living here, right here. There's intimacy. He wants to be with you. Nowhere else. He's the Lamb of God. And like they used to do in the Old Testament, they had to slaughter. You know the story about the lamb that was to be slaughtered. And the priest had to do it very often because the lamb was never, it was never enough. Jesus came and he was that perfect lamb for me and you that was slaughtered. He's the lily of the valley. And that is not a lily, but they say it's white, apparently. And like when we say that unto God or to Jesus, that means that that white symbolize the holiness of God, that cleanness, that fact that, Lord, you are holy. And as you are smelling that smell of Jesus is supposed to attract you, supposed to draw you closer when we call that unto Him. Then my last one, when we call unto Christ and we say, Lord, or we talk about Him as the prophet, the priest, and the king. As prophet, Christ this morning is the one that brings the word to us this morning. The real prophet, the true prophet. Every other true prophet in the Old Testament or today have their origin in Christ. This is where it all starts. The whole word starts there. His message, every message that they are delivering, if it's on, it starts in Christ. He's that one with the prophetic spirit that just flows through you and me that are allowed to flow in the prophetic from time to time. Moses referred to him. The woman at the well referred to him as the prophet. The blind man referred to him as the prophet. He's the King of Kings. We say, Lord, you are the King of Kings. What does that mean? That means that we bring everything under His control. We acknowledge that there might be kings in our life, but we say, Lord, you are the King of all those kings in our life, which we so often feed, you know. God wants to be King of every area in your life this morning. He wants to be Lord. Philippians 2 verse 9 to 11 says this, very popular scripture. Therefore, God has highly exalted Him and given Him a name above every other name, that of the name of Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow of those in heaven, those on earth, and those under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And that is what we're saying when we say to God, God, you are King, you are Lord. I proclaim that over my life. And many times we have just to come to that place and realize, you know, there might be areas in my life where I still have kings, where we haven't allowed God to reign over those things, you know. And we have to bring it unto God. Or those things control my life. As priest this morning, he's not a priest according to the Levitical priest order. But he's a priest that comes from God out of a different lineage. And we read in the Old Testament that he was according to the order of Melchizedek. We don't know about this man much. But it's been said that he's without genealogy. In other words, that Christ didn't come from man. I know sermon. He came in the form of man, but he came from God. God being known to us so that we can experience Him in the form of man. But His lineage is from God. He's not from between me and you, from the Levitical priesthood. That's why He could stand in the gap for you and me and to bring that offering. And when He came as a high priest, like the high priest had to bring the offering unto God, He didn't only just bring the offering, but He gave Himself. And when He died on that cross, when He hung on that cross and He died, it is done. And that's why we can receive it. Let's bow our heads this morning. Many times we are at the place, you know, when we look for God in spectacular things, we come to church and we make a lot of noise or at home or what, and we feel uncomfortable in God's when it's just quiet, when we just have to sit and listen. Elijah, I believe, was at that place when we know that he was looking for God in the earthquake, but the word says in Kings that God didn't manifest Himself in the earthquake. Then the fire came and God wasn't in the fire either. But when the still wind came, God was in that wind. And I want to challenge you this morning. In this week, we just sit aside time and say, Lord, I'm just silencing everything that might attract my attention at this moment. And I'm just sitting, listening, waiting upon you to reveal yourself for who you are. Because I believe, like I had in this week, and I'm still busy, God is busy reconstructing that image that I have of God that is maybe not 100%. God is busy reconstructing that so that I will perceive Him and understand and see Him as He really is. And for each one of us, it might be different due to various other reasons. But my prayer is this morning that we'll allow Him just to come and reveal Himself as He is. So Father, we come to You this morning, Lord. We realize our shortcoming, Lord. We realize, Lord, that our words are very often, Lord, empty, Lord. We call unto You, Lord, and we say things unto You loosely, Lord. And we say, Lord, You are love, You are good, You are holy. Lord, You are the Rose of Sharon. But Father, we want to re-examine our words this morning. Father, we pray that You will come in these days and just reveal Yourself to us. Reveal Your love unto us, Lord. Experience. Give us a glimpse of that, Lord. I know, Lord, that we'll just see in part. But Father, my prayer is this morning that we'll see a greater part of that, Lord. Reveal more that we've not seen before, Lord. Reveal Your goodness, Lord. Reveal Your love, Lord. Your holiness, Lord. And all these things, Lord, that we so often say unto You, Lord, without thinking. And Lord, I pray that as You give us the ability to understand and to perceive that, Lord, that it will just take hold of us, Lord, like Your holiness, Lord, it will just permeate us, Lord, and Lord, just bring us closer to You, Father, just to experience You more and more. Amen. Thank you very much. You have a blessed Sunday.